Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
You're listening to Sports Rage Late Night with Gabe Morenci on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204.
Scumbags! Let's rage!
Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Rage all you want.
Let's roll. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenci. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between throwing it down. The Monday night meltdown has begun as we pick up the pieces following dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun Monday night football. The Los Angeles Chargers that beat the former Los Angeles Raiders. Chargers 28, Raiders 14. Game stays under the number. Justin Herbert throws three touchdown passes, 222 yards, 25 of 38. Meanwhile, Derek Carr, a little off tonight, 21 of 34, just 196 yards, two touchdowns, and an interception. Austin Eckler was the true star of this football game, 15 carries for 117 yards, and he also did damage out of the backfield, catching passes as well with three receptions for 28 yards. His total yard prop for rushing receiving was like 101.5, 102. He goes over that number. We had a million props, or we had more props tonight than a carrot show, carrot top concert show, concert, act, carrot top. A lot of props. You're nothing but a prop comic. Where's the talent? Don't say that to Carrot Top to his face, though. The guy's pretty jacked and ripped right now. So, listen, man, it is what it is. One of these football games, we're on the right side of the Chargers. We're on the right side of the Chargers and the Raptors. Moneyline parlay, plus 175. We've been in a little bit of a zone. Yet the sheer volume of our plays tonight caught up to us. And it just was like just one play here, one play there. You know, won a couple of more bets tonight, and it was a big night. Instead, we bet a lot of money tonight, and it was really just sort of one of those. And sometimes it happens, man. You know, I've risked I bet $13,000 worth of games once, and I literally won $7. Like, it's almost impossible. It's almost impossible. You know what I mean? Like, throughout the day, I bet $13,000 worth of games, and at the end of the day, I look, it's like plus seven. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. I just went through all that stress and risked all that money, and I'm up $7. And then another time, I got even more aggressive about it. And, you know, it was like $30,000 in bets, and I lost $41. Word of no lie, I bet like $30,000 or $40,000 in a 48-hour span on college football and NFL football. And on the Sunday night, minus $41. And I'm thinking, like, how is that, like, possible? Like, I've done, like, a million degenerate, reckless things. And, like, somehow, after all that, and it's funny, too, because I was getting mad. I was like, I don't want this. I was like, I either want to win or I want to lose. I'm getting tired of this. And, it happened to me a bunch of times, and it happened tonight. For anybody that tuned in to Game Time Decisions and In-Game Live, I was pretty transparent about the plays. And whatever, dude. I basically will see when it's all said and done what happens. But I think I might be up $18 or something. Or I might be down like 60. I don't know. It's one of those type of deals. God, why didn't that game go over? The Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenci. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between, including psychotic Raider fans. I'm sure that parking lot's a lot of fun right now. Chargers win 28-14. They cover the number. The game stays under the number, which I can live with, but I had this game teased. I needed over 44.5, and you want to talk about a tease? How about when the Chargers lined up for a late field goal and then did the old, we're just going to punt it instead. And, man, I had a long field goal prop. I needed over 44.5. And, yeah, thanks a lot. These jackass kickers keep on missing kicks. Good job, Carlson. It's a 52-yarder. It's a chip shot today. Justin Tucker's making 66-yarders, and none of you stooges, clowns, can even make like a 50-yarder anymore. I don't like calling out kickers and stuff, but God, you guys suck. Like, seriously. Like, honestly, whatever happened to, like, cutting kickers on a weekly basis? That used to be a thing. That would be my thing. I'd basically say, I'd come into the locker room after the game. I'd be like, game ball, Austin Eckler. Great job, guys. Great job. We got the Browns coming to town this week. Except for you. You're cut. We got a new kicker. You get out of here. You got 30 minutes to pack your bags. These damn kickers. Like, dude, it's a 52-yarder indoors. I'm dead serious about this, too. Like, I am not going to cut some guy because he misses a 52-yarder indoors, but I'm giving him sort of the evil eye. You're getting an evil eye. Like, you're getting an eye from me. And it's one of those, you do it again, we got a problem. You do it a third time, you're cut. Like, you're done. Like, you know what I mean? People are too lenient nowadays. Too lenient. Yeah, you know, people accept mediocrity. Same thing with all these, like, dudes that go back to return punts. Nobody returns a punt anymore. It's like they all either let the ball bounce or they all call a fair catch. It's like, hey, jackass, I can get a pylon to do the same thing. I'm paying you money to return the punt, but it's dangerous. You're in the NFL.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Carson Wentz got cleared to play, but oh, I don't know, I'm worried about my concussion. Dude, that's what you're getting $40 million a year to suck for, to beat your body up. And about you too, Robin Leonard, what were you giving pills? Yeah, good job, snitch boy. Good job, snitch. The late night anger management class. This is Sports Rage. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Sports Rage Late Night with Gabe Morenci on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204.
This team is fired up. We came here to play.
All right.
He'll lose.
What? Didn't you hear what he said?
Look at the fear in his eyes. Listen to the quiver in his voice. He's a little boy lost in a game of men.
You think we should bet against him?
I bet my entire college fund on it.
You got it.
Mo, $23 on New York.
The late night anger management class. This is Sports Rage. I am Gable Morenci. Shout out to everybody tuning in. Sirius XM, Channel 204, banging the satellite convoy. Of course, the mightier 1090 in Southern California. SoCal was the place to be tonight for the NFL Monday Nighter. The Chargers, very impressive performance in the first half by the Los Angeles Chargers. And then Vegas started to do their thing. You know, teams that are down by 14 or more points are now 2-38 this year in the National Football League. Two wins, 38 losses. The team with the two wins are the Raiders. The Raiders are the only team in the NFL that'll come back by 14 or more. All right, so then the Raiders started to do their thing, and the play calling was impeccable in the first half. And the Chargers just played a perfect first half, up 21-0. And then they sort of took the pedal off the metal. The Raiders started to come back. The props started to rack up, yet, you know, we needed that long field goal prop. Carlson misses the 52-yarder. That would have helped the total. The teaser falls short. Chargers roll. Big win for the Chargers, though. So You know, as far as the bet is concerned, hey, it stayed under the number. Congratulations to the under players out there. It was a courageous play. It was a courageous play. You know, the Chargers are one of these teams where they have the capability of playing in like a, you know, in a game into the 50s, but their defense is good too, right? So when we saw against the Cowboys, it went under the number. We saw against Washington, it was a battle. So they're not an automatic over. So lesson learned, it's not an automatic over. And another thing is too, I was thinking about this, is it sounds crazy, but it's actually the opposite of what people think. And, you know, a lot of you guys, you know, most of you guys are smart people that are tuning in. I'd say about 97% of you are. The other 3%, well, you can't be saved. So most of you are pretty smart. So if you'll notice, if you listen and you're paying attention to these football games, you'll often hear people talk about how the offense is ahead of the defense early. And it's always that perception that it's going to be the other way around. Well, the season with dumbasses, right? Well, the season's going to start and the offense will take a little while to get into rhythm. And, you know, the defenses are going to be ahead of the curve. No, it's actually the opposite. Especially in today's day and age, right? Like, think about this, guys. Think of it if you're an NFL team and you're playing somebody in week one. You don't know what the hell they're going to do. What do you got? You got last year's playbook and some film. What if they got a bunch of new personnel and stuff? Like, you don't know what they're going to do. And, you know, the defense have to really work together. Offense, you know, it's basically, you know where you're going. It's like, all right, listen, run 12 yards, turn left, and then I'm going to hit you with a slant. Like, it's basically, you know what I mean? Yeah, there's going to be chemistry and stuff. It's not like a band, right? The more you jam, the tighter you're going to get, more in the pocket you're going to get. But the thing is, defensively, like, think back to the Baylor Bears, all right? When the Baylor Bears basketball team this past year, these guys were like 19-0 or something, right? And then COVID hit them. And remember, the Baylor Bears didn't play for like 3 weeks or something, right? Like, they didn't play as many games. Like, you know, that was the question mark about them. Like, and they came out of the COVID break and they lost right away. Boom. Right? They went from 19-0 to 19-2 or whatever, 19-3, and people panicked. Oh, you know, they lost it and they're not as good anymore. And I remember the coach saying after, he said, it took us about 2-3 weeks to get into a groove defensively again. He said, we have a complicated defense. There's a lot of assignments, and it's not just easy to do overnight. He said, you got to get into a rhythm and routine doing it. And it's the same thing in football. So, and you know, people think, oh, offense first, but no. You know what I mean? So it's like offense is going to struggle early, and they'll have the defense will have an advantage. I think almost think I'm seeing the opposite now, guys. And we're seeing it in NHL as well. We're in the preseason. Like, now they're starting to tighten up a little bit more, right? Now that they've played 6 games, 5 games in the NHL, 7 games and all, you know, teams have been playing preseason hockey. Earlier, it was higher scoring. They're starting to tighten things up right now as the regular season is around the corner. And I don't know. I think just it's something to keep our eye on moving forward coming into this week, in which, like I said, I think that defenses are starting to figure it out a little bit now, right? They actually have 4 games of game tape now, too, of this year. So they know. And trust me, if you're an NFL team, most NFL teams have run all their plays by now, right? They all do what they're doing. So, you know what I mean? Like, if you're a defensive coordinator, it's like, all right, this is what Zach Wilson's doing. This is what they're running. This is what the Bears are running. This is what the Bills are doing. Right? Look at the Bills game, 1-under. This is what the Bills are doing. You know, like we talk about it, like with the Chiefs, they finally exploded, but I talked about it coming into the year in which I thought the Chiefs would not be as dominant. And I still think they're good, but people know what you're doing now. You know what I mean? You've been there for 3 years. Like, you know what I mean? You guys have been running this offense now. People started to figure it out last year, as you saw. I mean, the Chiefs didn't win a football game by more than 6 points until this week, going all the way back to week 8 of last year, guys. It's freaking crazy. You know what I'm saying? Like, what is that, a coincidence? Was it the Chiefs suddenly got worse? Not really. It was everybody else figuring it out. Everybody said, this is what they're doing. Right? We know what you're doing. And it's still hard to stop because you got good athletes, but you know, now we know the plays you're running here. We know that you want to do this little, like, these guys aren't dumb, right? These defensive coordinators and stuff, they pick up on stuff, like, very quickly. Like, look, when he stomps his foot, they're actually going to hill over the slot here, right? Like, you know, when he tugs on his towel, watch out for Kelsey, right? Like, these guys pick things up. It seems to me that the defensive coordinators are smarter in the NFL than the offensive guys, because some of this damn play calling, like, even the Chargers. You know, how many times do we see teams, it's like, guys, it's 3rd and 4, why are you throwing a bomb? Like, why didn't you just throw the bomb on first down? It makes me so mad. Like, it's amazing. Like, all that you notice this year, it's a this year thing, too. Everybody runs on first down now, right? The Buccaneers did it all the time last night, and you were putting Brady in a bad spot. Honestly, the Vikings do it. They all do it. They run on first down. Like, why? Everybody knows you're going to run on first down. So you run on first down, right up the middle, boom. All right, great. It's 2nd and 8 now. Good call. Now what are you going to do? Now you got to have your crap-ass quarterback drop back and throw the ball in a must-pass situation. Or you run it again, and hey, great, it's 3rd and 7 now. Right? Like, these teams, they throw it away, and then they put the quarterback in a must-throw situation in 3rd down when everybody knows, well, they got to throw the ball. It's 3rd and 8. Right? You know, you throw the ball on first down. Throw the ball, do a little, like, teams that do that are the smart teams. The Chargers did that. First down, just throw it for 7 yards. Hey, it's 2nd and 3. Now we'll run the ball, and we'll get a first down, or we'll get a big chunk. You keep teams off balance if you throw the ball on first down. All these, they're so predictable, man. Like, honestly. Like, I know people that used to smoke, like, a half ounce of weed in a night playing Madden with better play calling. Which it would actually confuse you. I could be like, damn, I don't know what this dude's going to call here. Keeps mixing it up. Like, you know what I'm saying? keeps mixing it up. Like, I didn't understand it with the Buccaneers. You got Tom Brady. It was pretty crazy. Like, you know, I'm not trying to go back in time, but I'm using it as an example. Like, look at the Patriots. The Patriots were running trick plays with Jacoby throwing power.
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily, and the best part, guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto, America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino, the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
And they were thrown on first down with Mac Jones, and he completed 19 in a row. And then they were mixing in the run to get the first downs. And then you got the greatest quarterback ever in Tom Brady, and the Buccaneers kept running the ball on 1st and 2nd down up the middle. It was like, well, now it's 3rd and 7. And then they would throw a bomb to Evans, and it would never work. It's like, what the hell are you guys doing? You're Byron Leftwich. Like, what are you guys thinking? Like, I don't get any of this sometimes. Like, really smart people do stupid things on football fields. It's like courtrooms.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Matt Snyder, CBSSports.com, will join us a little bit later on. We'll talk Major League Baseball. Of course, he covers baseball for CBS. We've got big time. We're the big leagues. Nothing but the best. CBSSports.com, SI.com, Rick Saratella a little bit later on. We got Sports Illustrated. We got CBS. I thought about that after I tweeted these guys. I was like, they're not going to retweet it now because I just put like their. I got to think about that stuff. Right, they're all rivals, right? All these, like, no one likes that. Like, Like the poor dude, like if Matt Snyder, we'll see, like if he retweets it, then one of his guys is going to say, hey, I saw you retweeting something last night with Sports Illustrated in it. Like they're all competitors, right? Yeah, they are. Everyone knows each other in his business, but nevertheless, so we got, yeah, Matt Snyder. We got some good guests tonight. Matt Snyder, George Kurtz, our George Kurtz, and Rick Serratella. So, yeah, we're talking football. We're talking baseball and other things. I guess one other thing I'll throw out there. Mike Tyson says he'll fight the Paul brothers. Mike Tyson, Logan Paul, not Jake, Logan. Says he'll fight Logan Paul, but there's a catch. He wants $100 million. He wants $100 million. And I tell you what, they can make a lot of money with that fight, but I don't think they can make that type of money that they can pay him $100 million. You know what I mean? Like, would you pay for that, Matias? You would, huh? Would you pay for Mike Tyson versus Logan Paul? Mike Tyson versus Logan Paul? Would you pay? Like what? $100? $90? $100? $100? Would you pay $100?
Yeah, I would. I'm not gonna lie. I probably would. A couple beers. It would take a couple. It depends what's on, Gabe. It depends what else would be on.
Well, they wouldn't go head to head with the UFC. No, you buy it. What do you mean? It depends. What could be on head to head? That you wouldn't want, besides what, Argentina playing a soccer match in the World Cup? Like, what do you know what I mean?
Oh, no. That would definitely miss it.
How old is Mike Tyson? How old
is Argentina World Cup? But no, you're right. I would buy it. I would want to see Mike Tyson knock him out. What's the shame in that?
He's 55, Tyson. I'm going to be honest. Like, he's in pretty good shape, Mike Tyson. Like, he's... You know what I mean? Like, a lot of times, like, Evander Holyfield fought the other day, and I told you guys, I don't think that should be sanctioned. I was like, they can't sanction this, and he did nearly get murdered, right? So, and people were worried. I think he went to the hospital and everything. This is what we said. He's going to, it's dangerous. Like, how the hell do you guys sanction that? It was Florida, of course. Like, Mike Tyson wouldn't get hurt. You know what I mean? It's not like you could say, oh, this is the stupidest idea ever. We saw Tyson against Roy Jones, and Tyson's actually in shape. And I gotta tell you, Tyson's 55, but he'll still knock your ass out if he connects. And he's still pretty fast, too. I'm curious, have they posted odds for this yet? You know, some sports books gotta put, like, they're gonna put odds up.
Would you buy it?
Oh, that's, am I under oath? I don't want to answer that question. I'll watch it. I'll put it that way. I'll watch it. Yes, I'll watch it. See, Mike Tyson's tweeting about using psychedelics to recover and enhance neurological health and wellness. So he's talking about taking psychedelics and fighting Logan Paul the same day. No, this is serious. Like, Tyson did it. I saw the clip. It wasn't, like, just rumors and stuff. Tyson, like, Buddy asked him. I don't know who it was that asked him. Looked like they were chill, like, smoking weed. Tyson looked pretty baked. And, on a podcast. And he said, what do you think about the Paul brothers to Tyson? And Tyson said, oh, I'll fight him. And Buddy said, you fight him for real? Really? He said, you mean this? And Tyson said, yeah. He goes, I think we can make a lot of money. And then Tyson said, he goes, I want $100 million. He goes, I'll do it for $100 million. And he was serious. He goes, I'll fight. And then he said, which one? And Tyson said, not the one from last week. Like, but the interviewer didn't know the Paul brothers. Tyson does, though. Tyson's a real fight fad, right? So Tyson said, no, not the guy that fought the mixed martial artist. The other one. Said, the other one. He weighs 190 pounds. Like, Tyson even knew his weight. Said, he weighs 190 pounds.
He wants Logan.
Yeah. Yeah. Jake's bigger, right? Like, Logan's 190 pounds and stuff. Mike's not a massive guy, right? So, and he's 55. I don't think it'll happen, but the internet's blown up about it. You know what I'm saying? It's just a little too much money, like 100 million, Mike. Like 50 million? Like, honestly, now that it's thrown out there, I think it wouldn't shock me if, like, people actually sit in a room together now and go, all right, listen, what can we do with this? How much can we really make from this? Paper. pay-per-views are, what do they charge now? Like $80, $90? Like they're more expensive now. They're not $49.99 anymore, right? So, like they would probably charge $100, right? So you charge $100. You get a million people at $100. It's a lot of money. But the thing is with the pay-per-views, you got to give half the money to the cable companies, right? Because they're controlling it. Like Dana White and stuff, people think they add up all that money for the pay-per-views. He's got to cough up the money to the cable companies. That's their deal. They're not going to sell the pay-per-view for you. They own the TV grid. Like, you know what I mean? As powerful as UFC are, if they want it on TV, well, they've got to deal with the cable networks. And, you know, Cablevision and these companies aren't just going to sell a pay-per-view for you and do all the work and answer the phone and all that and put it on. They want half the money, right? So there, you know, there's a lot of hands out there. Like, you got the fighters, you got the promoters, and then you've got the pay-per-view people that are taking basically like 45% of the money. So it's not that simple, but listen, we live in a freak show society right now. And, like, people would pay for this. People would pay for it. Yet, Mike Tyson, like Mike Tyson asked, it's too much money. I think Tyson figures, I don't really want to do this, but I, you know, if they're going to give me $100 million, I'll fight, you know what I mean? Anybody would do anything for $100 million. Hell, I'll fight the Paul brothers for $1 million. Not 100,000, though. It's not worth it. Because I'd get knocked out by either one of them. And I'd be all messed up and stuff. I'm not going to get killed for $100,000. Big Man on Campus will do it. Big Man on Campus got a big fight coming up. And that Barstool stuff. That
Rough and Rowdy.
Yeah, Rough and Rowdy. Yeah, Barstool Rough and Rowdy.
We got to watch that, Gabe.
Well, you're paying for that,
we're on that.
Ron, Big Man today, he was on the show today. He was talking about me and Cam walking down the aisle with him and stuff like that.
It would, like, be a beautiful sight.
No, I'm not, I don't even want to do that. I'm like, I don't want to get involved with you guys' feuds on Barstool. Like, I'm not people on Twitter.
I would love to see that, Gabe.
No, I'm not people calling me out on Twitter. Hey, a bald guy, I want to fight him. Like, and then I have no choice to accept because I look like a chump, Matias, that I'm going to get knocked out in a Barstool fight. Like, but I don't know. I think they're paying Big Man pretty good money, though, to be honest, to do it.
Gabe, honestly, I never thought that would blow up. But when I have think friends call me over to say, hey, you want to watch a Rough and Rowdy fight with me tonight? I just can't believe that.
I swear to God, I think Big Man's getting like $100,000 or something for that. I don't like talking about people's finances, but he was talking about it himself. He brought it up. Dave Portnoy once said, Portnoy offered $250,000 to Big Man on Campus and Rico Bosco to fight each other. Winner take all, $250,000.
They should have done it.
Big Man was willing to do it in a heartbeat. Like, he wanted, like, Big Man likes the fame and he literally wants to knock this guy out, right? Rico said no. Dude, $250,000 is a lot of money, man. That's how rich Portnoy is. They just can throw you guys go like be idiots for $250,000. But it's a lot of money, Matias. That's more than Dana White pays people, Matias. You know what I mean? Like, you fight once for $250,000 in Rough and Rowdy. You can say I'm a professional fighter that makes more than a UFC fighter. Like, you know what I mean? You can meet a UFC fighter and go, dude, I would never fight a UFC. I don't know, dude. I'm a pro fighter, bro. I fight at Barstool. Like, I make real money. Like Big Man on Cap is going to make more money for a fight than Dustin Poirier with these. It's an F-top world. Yeah, that's why Allied Quint is selling real estate. Oh, God.
I jumped from the UFC to Barstool.
This is killing me. Oh, I think Big Man's going to win. I don't know who he's fighting. He's fighting some dude named Jersey Jerry. I'm going to look. Anyone got a picture? See, like, people in the chat, exactly. Like, I wouldn't, for $250,000, even if you got knocked out, like, it's a lot of money. Like, it can't be winner take all. That's my deal. Like, I wouldn't, like, I totally get it. Those guys hate each other, though, so they should do it. But, like, I don't mind the embarrassment of getting knocked out on pay-per-view. Like, you know what I'm saying? People can laugh at me and go, oh, yeah, you really got not killed on that. You got killed in West Virginia. Oh, I'm Renzi. Yeah, and I could see how I also made $250,000. So, so like Ben Askren, Matthias, you know what I mean? And Tyron Woodley, they kind of knew they were going to lose, and it sucks. Like, you know, it's like, man, I'm going to get ripped on Twitter pretty good for about 2 or 3 days, and then people will forget about it, but I'm also going to make more money I've ever made in my life in one night. It's totally worth it. Like, I'll get my ass handed to me. I don't mind the embarrassment of that, but I'm not doing it for no money. Like, it can't be winner take all. Late Night Anger Management Class, Matt Snyder next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily, and the best part, guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto, America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
To Sports Rage Late Night with Gabe Morenci on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204.
The Late Night Anger Management Class continues. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morenci. We're kicking it, Sirius XM Channel 204, Sports Grid Radio Network. Shout out to everybody listening on the Mightier 1090, San Diego, Los Angeles, Southern California in the house. The countdown is on. There's a lot of anticipation right now in Los Angeles. And I should say anticipation, apprehension. And I'll just come out and say it. I'm nervous. And I can't believe I'm nervous about a baseball team that won 106 games this year. Let's talk Dodgers and playoff baseball right now. Matt Snyder joins us, CBSSports.com. Matt, welcome to the Rage. Thanks a lot for taking the time to be with us.
Hey, sure thing. Good to be here.
So what a wild season. What a wild weekend it was. Unfortunately, we did not get the tiebreakers that so many of us wanted, but hard to complain when we have the Yankees and the Red Sox in a single elimination game and a red-hot St. Louis Cardinal team going to Chavez Ravine on Wednesday.
Yeah, it's four of the most prestigious storied franchises in baseball all in the wild card. So I imagine we're in it for a big week in terms of like TV ratings and stuff. I think we'll get a lot of eyeballs on there, especially being Tuesday and Wednesday, not really going against football at all. So I hopefully they're good games and hopefully they're entertaining games.
So the Dodgers, a lot of talk about, what do you make of this? Let me just throw it at you. People are saying, wow, it's crazy that the Dodgers are playing in the wild card. The format is, you know, is not right. They should adjust the format. And this is kind of an anomaly, isn't it? As Matt Snyder tweeted, and you can follow Matt Snyder CBS, the Dodgers are the 23rd team in Major League Baseball history to win at least 106 games in a season. They're the first ones not to finish in first place. So it's hard to rewrite the system and the format when it's never happened before.
No, you don't change the rule just because something that never happens for the first time in like 130 years or whatever. But I think we're headed that way anyway. It was bandied about before the COVID shutdown that Manfred desired to expand the playoffs, something with like seven teams in each league. So you'd have three wild card series that are three games, and the host team would host all three games, and the number one seed would just wait. And then I think that the wrinkle was like they would let the number one seed pick their opponent.
In
the next round. So I think we're headed that way, especially like going to the CBA, if you think about it, feels like that's one of the few things the players and owners will agree on, right? Like if you say more playoff teams, well, more players will get a chance to play in the playoffs. So they'll say, yeah, sure. More owners will get a chance to host more playoff games. So of course they'll say yes. So I feel like that's one of the few things they'll agree on.
You know, Matt, I can't be hypocritical about this because I'm actually old school, and let's be real. In the old days, there was no wild card, right? You win your damn division.
No.
You win your division. So now you're getting the benefit of the doubt. And it's like, yeah, sometimes it's tough, but I think of the Montreal Expos teams, man, of the late 70s. You know, they used to lose a division by one game all the time to the Phillies, right? Like, it would be brutal.
I mean,
and it's a cold world.
Even in this format, I think about it. I'm a Cubs fan, so it's easy to remember. 2015, the NL Central had the 30 best records in all of baseball. and you ended up the Cubs with the third best record, had to be a road team in the wild card game. Sometimes it's just the way it happens.
Win your division, right? It's one of those deals. You don't want to be in a wild card. Win your division.
That's the thing. Like, the Dodgers had plenty of chances to beat the Giants, and if you beat them just one more time, you win the division.
Wow, man! All right, Matt Snyder with us. So let's get into the Yankees and the Red Sox. And at times it can get old if you're not a Yankee and a Red Sox fan, but it's been a couple of years, and single elimination is just so cool between these two teams, with the winner getting the Rays. But, guys, this is how close it's been. So the Red Sox won the season series 10-9, and they outscored the Yankees 75-74. So one game, one run. But, oh, yeah, by the way, the Yankees have won the last six times they played against each other, including that sweep at Fenway. Garrett Cole, Eovaldi, what's your prediction and opinion on the game, Matt?
Yeah, I'm leaning Yankees. The Red Sox have kind of been sputtering for a little bit. Now, I know the Yankees, to see a team that won 13 games in a row recently, not too long ago, also won like six in a row, they still seem like you just can't fully trust them. But
you're not really sure, right, what you're going to get. You're right.
I'm not confident either way. I'm slightly more confident in the Yankees. It's a low level of confidence on both teams, really. I'm going to lean Yankees with Garrett Cole. They have a little bit more firepower on offense, especially with J.D. Martinez rolled his ankle yesterday. Running back in from the base rolled his ankle. He might not play. If he does, he might get compromised. It feels like Devers could probably carry him the way he's been swinging the bat right now. But I lean Yankees. I just don't have a strong feel either way. It's mostly just Garrett Cole.
Now, as far as the Dodgers are concerned, the odds makers have made the Dodgers big-time favorites, Matt, like minus 220, minus 230, et cetera. It's coming down a little bit, but not much. Cardinals, of course, are red hot, but how much do you think I know it's cliche, but if you're the Cardinals, man, you were smoking hot. Now you're off for a little while. And I don't need to tell you, Matt, covering the game as long as you have. These guys are creatures of habit. They usually don't not play baseball games for 3-4 days, ever. There's never rainouts for that long.
No, they definitely could lose a little bit of rhythm. I thought it was a common joke we were making in our work chat room. Like, far too many people are going to fall in love with the idea of picking the Cardinals when the Dodgers are way better and they have Max Scherzer and they're at home. It just seems like an easy and obvious pick right there. I think the Cardinals will give them a test, but I can't see the Cardinals going in there. They've won 21 of 25. But to me, and I look at their level of talent, all that says is they're due to even out a little bit. So I feel like Scherzer's going to go out there and deal. I think Adam Wainwright probably could. He just seems like the type of guy that would go out there and deal for like eight innings with like straight up guile and guts. But the Dodgers will get it. They'll score some runs eventually. Probably will be low scoring, but I would bet pretty heavily on the Dodgers.
What do you think if, and it's hypothetical, let's just say hypothetical, and I don't want to mush or jinx the Dodgers, Matt. So I'll say if they play San Francisco or St. Louis, can you imagine, dude, like if it is LA versus San Francisco? I mean, what a battle and what a war that'll be.
Yeah, it's going to be amazing. It just, the only thing that sucks is the Dodgers are kind of compromised right now. You don't know if Kershaw's okay.
Yeah.
Max Muncy just got hurt. You wish both teams were at full.
How long do you think Muncy's going to be out for? Like they said, he's probably not going to be available even for this series. We know he's not going to be available this weekend, right? Like this week.
Yeah. If I had to guess right now, I'd say probably most of the playoffs. Because, I mean, it just – the way they right away came out and said just a left elbow injury, and then they said he's definitely out for the wild card game, it just feels like the other shoe's going to drop here any minute.
It's amazing, isn't it, that it's rare that we see first base incidences like that, but when they happen, they're ugly, aren't they? You know, Cliff Floyd.
They're terrible when they happen because you end up with, like, the first baseman – you know, falling over the bag and colliding with a guy going at full speed or something like that, or if somebody steps on an ankle, it's a guy who's mostly standing still with a guy going full speed. That's always going to be ugly.
Matt Snyder with us. Okay, so what do you make of the Houston Astros and the Chicago White Sox? Like, you know, great storylines across the board, isn't there? Just like you look at these managers. Yeah, two old school managers, Houston Astros, an organization with a chip on their shoulder, and then the Chicago White Sox, who kind of coasted in the second half of the season. That's my concern, Matt, that the White Sox coasted, haven't played in any critical or important baseball games kind of ever. And secondly, I'm not sure about their pitching, you know, overall. What's your opinion on that series?
See, that's the thing with the White Sox. On paper, if you look at, like, when Lance Lynn and Carlos Rodon and Lucas Giolito, Dylan Cease, if you want him in the four spot, when those guys are all on, it looks like, oh, man, that's an amazing playoff rotation. And you look at the offense and you see, you know, Tim Anderson and Jose Abreu and Yasmani Grandal, Eloy Jimenez. You think, oh, man, look at all the firepower. And then at the back of the bullpen, Craig Kimbrell and Liam Hendricks. Okay, that's a team that should win the World Series then, right? But they haven't been that impressive all year. I mean, 93 wins in a division when nobody else has a winning record. It's a bad division. They have a losing record against good teams. So, I mean, maybe now is when they go out and show it, but I don't trust them at all. They, like I said, on paper, they look like they should be amazing, but they just haven't been that impressive. Meanwhile, I look at the Astros. I know they're only two games better, but they actually have the offensive firepower that it looks like they should have. I think the Astros are a lot better. I know it's only two games, like I said, but I think the Astros are going to take them down in four, maybe. I like the Astros a lot.
CBSSports.com's Matt Snyder with us, SiriusXM Channel 204. The Late Night Anger Management Class, I am Morenci, Sports Grid Radio Networks. So you're in Reds country, so you've got an up hand. You've seen the Brewers up close, you know, for years. What do you make of the Brewers and the Braves series? They lose Devin Williams. Everybody talks about the Brewers pitchers, but I wonder, they've thrown a lot of innings this year, and the Braves are kind of flying under the radar and are kind of red hot right now, and a confident team. I'm really looking forward to this series as well. I want to pick the Braves here. I want to pick the Braves, but the Braves always choke. So what's your opinion?
The Braves, in the last 2 months, have won two-thirds of their games. It's a full-season pace of 108 wins. So after they lost Ronald Acuña Jr., somehow they played like a 108-win team. I don't know how much of it was just beating up on the NL East or how much of it was them really getting things to click. But some under-the-radar acquisitions at the trade deadline, like Eddie Rosario, Adam Ball, Jorge Soler, have been amazing for them offensively. Freddie Freeman and Austin Riley, kind of the linchpins of the offense. I like them a lot. It's going to be fun to watch because I don't know how much you can trust the Brewers' offense. But when Woodruff, Burns, and Peralta are as good as they can be, that's three aces, legitimate aces in the rotation. Adrian Hauser's been really good, too, for their four. Hader at the back end of the bullpen. Craig Counsell, their manager, is the best in baseball at dealing with his pitching staff and putting series together, not just games together, series together. So I think he is going to be brilliant. I just don't know if they have enough offense to overcome any mistakes by their pitching staff at all. I don't know if they have the offense to make up for it.
There's a lot of potential glamour World Series matchups, right? Like, big-time, as you stated, storied organizations, big-time television markets, you know, San Francisco, Los Angeles, New York, Boston, Chicago. Houston's a big market, but I think, you know, they prefer New York, Boston, Chicago, et cetera. And then there's Tampa. It's like, and then there's Mod. And then there's Tampa. You know, do they make it back again? Nobody ever talks about them, and we're not talking about them now. So they'll get the winner of the Red Sox and the Yankees. And quite frankly, you know, the Rays have kind of bullied these powerhouse teams in this division. They're not scared of the Yankees, and they're not scared of the Red Sox, the Rays.
No, it's the first division in wild card era history to have four 91 teams, and they won 100 games in that division. They're obviously a powerhouse.
Wow.
They just don't feel like it because, you know, they do so much interchanging names. Like, you know, even from their World Series rotation last year, they're missing, well, Glasnow's hurt now, so they're missing three.
Matt, they don't even have a starting pitcher half the time. It's TBD every day.
They don't. But they have so many amazing arms out there. And speak, like I said, about Counsell, Kevin Cash as well. It's so good about game planning entire series with the pitching staff. They're the best team. They're the best bet. The Astros could definitely stand toe-to-toe with them. The White Sox could if everybody plays their potential. The Yankees could take them down, but the Rays are the best team. So it's going to be so fun to watch. It's just the playoffs as a whole, it's wide open. And I know we can see upsets. Like, nobody thought the 2019 Nationals could beat both the Dodgers and the Astros, and they did it. But even with the 107-win Giants and 106-win Dodgers, nobody seems like a good bet to win it all. There's nobody who said, oh, man, I'd lay a lot on them right now. There's nobody that sticks out like that.
Yeah, there's no locks. And even if there was, every lock has a key. But you're right. You can make a case for everybody. I mean, you can't discount San Francisco. They're 107 games. You can't discount the Dodgers. You can't discount the Cardinals. You can't discount it's hard to write off the Yankees right now, how hot they are. Except, you, like you said, everybody's in this thing.
The Braves have the worst record out of every playoff team. And like I just said, for the last 2 months, they've been playing like a 108-win team. So it's everybody's really, really strong. You don't have like a weakling 83 win wild card team. You know, it's everybody's awesome.
Enjoy the games. Let's catch up. Let's catch up in a couple of weeks and reset the table as we go into the division series and see how this plays out, my man.
Yeah. All right. We'll do. Sounds good.
Hey, Matt Snyder, CBS Sports. Thanks a lot, Matt.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert.
10 hours on my feet, traffic, noise, everybody needing something from me. My head is spinning. I just need the world to stop for 1 second. But then I get home, shoes off, phone out, and I open Modo Casino. Hundreds of slots, classic table games. It's my instant reset. The variety I want in the quiet I need.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino. America's social casino.
For picks and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Snyder for kicking with us. CBS Sports. We'll catch up with Matt in a couple of weeks. Great stuff. We got George Kurtz coming up. So George, of course, is a diehard, serious Yankee fan. All right, he loves the Yankees. This guy, he's loved him his whole life. He loves the Yankees. So we'll break this game down with Kurtz. Interesting. Last night, and I am Gabriel Morency. Shout out to all of our radio affiliates, Sirius XM, and everybody tuning in, Channel 204. So. Last night, Jason Mitakafin joined us, and he's a smart guy, Jason. I mean, he's smart enough that you know, the Toronto Blue Jays let him run the A-ball affiliate, right? He was a general manager. He worked for the Athletics, too, but the Blue Jays, they won 3 championships. So he's a smart guy, and he said he thinks there's going to be runs in this game, and it was 8.5. It's actually come down to 8 right now. It's come down to 8. Gerrit Cole versus Nathan Eovaldi. And it's amazing, guys, like just how close and evenly matched these teams have been this year. It really is. It's like Duke and North Carolina. Like, you know, you hear about this rivalry and stuff like that, but like, you know, you think, well, you know, but it really is. So both teams finished with identical records. Both teams finished 92-70. The Red Sox, they played 19 times this year. The Red Sox won 10 of them. All right, so they were 10-9. And the run differential, like out of the 19 games, the final score, Boston won 75-74. Like, think about that. They played 19 games and it was 75-74. Well, that's like Duke and North Carolina. You know Duke and North Carolina? I remember like 2 years ago, I saw the graphic. In the history of Duke and North Carolina, they were separated by like 6 points. We opened up the show talking about betting a lot of money and like just sort of being right back. They like same thing, like Duke of North Carolina. Think of all the blood, sweat, and tears and emotion over the years. Yeah, you guys are dead tied after 80 years. You're dead tied still. You're tight. Like you'll never escape each other. Right, George Kurtz will step up and in. Everybody in our chat wants to fight the Pauls for money right now. Let's do it. Bring it.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA. Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited. Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.